Welcome to BlindBargains.com coverage of CSUN 2017.
The biggest names,
provocative interviews, and wall-to-wall exhibit hall coverage. Brought to you by the American Foundation for the Blind.
VisionAware.org is a free, easy-to-use website for adults with vision problems. If you're having trouble seeing and don't know where to turn for answers, VisionAware provides you with expert solutions and advice. Learn about your eye condition. Get practical advice for working with vision loss. Discover how to keep doing all the things you love to do. Find help, hope, and connection at visionaware.org.
Now, here's Chancey Fleet.
Hello, I'm here with Earl Harrison, president of Triumph Technology, and Siggy Kepke, CEO and owner of HandyTech. And they're here today to talk about a new 16-cell Braille display and note taker, which is called the Actolino. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us on, Chancey.
Thank you, Chancey.
So would you like to tell us a little bit about the form factor of the Actolino? What does it look like? What are the ergonomics and how heavy is it?
Well, the Actolino, if some of you have been through the exhibit halls at the national conventions and some of the local conventions and even CSUN here, it'll look a little bit familiar. It'll look like a smaller version of the Active Braille, which is its 40-cell big brother, if you will. It's got the concave Braille cells that people are used to seeing in the HandyTech Braille displays, as well as the cursor routing buttons above each of the cells. Two space bars on the front of the housing that separate the Braille array from the 8-dot keyboard that's on top. So you've got the 8-dot Braille keyboard on top, the two space bars in the front, and in between those space bars are a 5-position selector switch, or joystick, if you will. On the left side of the device, we've got a place for the AC adapter, which connects a magnetic cable. I think we're going to get to the connectors a little bit later, that kind of thing. So it's just it's a very familiar-looking piece of equipment, except at a smaller form factor. If you've seen the Active Braille, you'd be pretty familiar with this one as well.
Now, you mentioned that it has a magnetic connector to make it easier to connect via USB.
Yeah, it is a USB connector for charging the device. So you can either plug it into the wall for a quick charge, which is about 3 hours, right? 3-hour quick charge, or you can plug it into a USB port on your computer.
And when you do plug it in, how much battery life do you get on a single charge?
Well, this is such a new product. In fact, we're just showing it here at CSUN this week that we haven't had a chance to really calibrate the battery and bring it all the way up to full strength so we know what the battery life is. But it is a pretty safe bet that we're looking at about 30 hours per charge.
Now, what type of battery is that? Is that user replaceable?
It is a user replaceable battery, and I think it's the based on the Samsung Galaxy S5.
Mm-hmm. Not one of the Galaxy.
Not the one of the ones you can't board an airplane with.
So that's the USB connectivity. Tell me a little bit about the Bluetooth connectivity that's available.
Well, you can connect when you're connecting via Bluetooth, whether it be to a computer or a mobile phone, an iPhone. We're using two channels: one for the keyboard, one for the Braille display. So we can connect up to 3 devices with Bluetooth and 1 device using USB. Something that's also interesting is that we've got 2 speakers, stereo speakers on the front of the device and a microphone that carries the audio input. And this is so if you're connected to a computer, you can actually use that microphone to communicate via Skype, FaceTime. If you've got your iPhone charging in the other room and it rings and it connects to your Braille display, you can answer the phone right there on your Actolino.
Now, do you anticipate that microphone and speakers will work with Siri?
Ooh, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about
If there's a shortcut for activating Siri or for voice over, then it should.
Well, there's always that Hey Siri.
Yeah.
That's true.
Voice activation.
And unfortunately, that means you have to have your iOS device plugged into the wall.
Plugged into power, that's right. So maybe something to think about in the future, right? But nevertheless, you can have kind of a away-from-your-phone experience with Braille, with the microphone, and with the speakers all working, right?
Yeah, and we tested it the other day on a phone call with Siggy, and it sounds pretty good.
Okay, fantastic. Now, tell me a little bit about the case that you've designed for this unit.
May I add from the user control elements, left and right of the 16-cell Braille display, you find the ergonomic shape, triple action keys for on both sides. You can scroll up and down. If you press the center on the right, it's enter. Center on the left, it's escape. As we had for other devices before. The case is surrounding the Actilino, and when you open it, it allows you to use it also when you have it around the neck. What it makes it special is that we finally got rid of the Velcro, and we have a magnetic lock, which makes it much more elegant and robust. We believe that this is a very nice case, also with waterproof material, and we hope people like it.
Now, that full line of HandyTech displays has a technology called active tactile control, which mm-hmm. actually allows you to pan through the Braille without pressing a button. Can you explain a little bit about how that works?
Yes, my pleasure. The general idea was, what could we do if we would know the reading position on the Braille display, and how could we find out the reading position? And this was our approach in the end, to have a similar technology step as in the sighted world, where from a normal screen to a touch screen, here to a touch sensitive Braille display. And so how we have done it is that we actually measure the force on each pin by using the piezo technology, which is already inside for driving the pins. So this is a good thing. This piezo effect is reversible.
Can I jump in and ask you, because for most of our listeners that just use Braille displays every day and don't mm-hmm. make them, they may not be familiar with what that piezo effect is, and I bet people are curious.
Oh, yes, of course. Piezos used in Braille cells are flat, maybe 50 millimeters, or what is it, in inch, I don't know, less than 2 inch, long strips, to 1.5 millimeter wide. And on the loose end of the strip, there is a little plastic pin, and this little plastic pin is lifted up and down by the piezo. And this is happening because of the applied voltage on the piezo layers. They are ceramic layers, and these ceramic layers, they have a special effect that they are aligning the crystals in this material, and the aligning of the crystal makes a movement to either up or down. This is also why when it's turned off, you have the some kind of middle position.
If you a kind of resting position.
This is so it's actively lowered by the driven voltage, and this is quite a high voltage. We use 200 volt and lifted up. And the challenge was for us, first of all, in using the very small signal when touching the pins to analyze and filter out a signal. That took us several years to reach a mechanism where we reliably can filter out a signal. Mm-hmm. And then, which was even harder, when you're reading, everybody has a different reading style. So some people read with two hands, only with one hand, right-handed, left-handed, whatever, with one finger, with pre-orientation, with one hand. So you have so many different reading styles. So the challenging part was, is there some kind of specific characteristic of the reading finger so that we can really isolate the reading finger from all the other fingers on the Braille display?
And what do you do about people that have multiple simultaneous reading fingers?
You try it out. We had several challenges just here at CSUN,
yes.
where people tried to fool the system, and we got the positive feedback that we really mastered the tracking, even for people who have multiple changing of the reading finger. So maybe they start with the left hand till one third, and they continue with the right hand, then move over to the left hand maybe again. We had really good examples now, which really challenged us, and we really very happy that found an algorithm how to detect this. And what we do, and this is no joke, we really do 50 times per second trying to have the touch signal from all pins 50 times a second to analyze the reading position. So it's quite a lot of processing in the background to finally come to the conclusion which one is the reading position.
So on the exhibit hall floor, we had a couple of really good examples. We had one gentleman who was really fast, had a featherlight touch, and for some reason he wasn't advancing when he reached the end of the line. So I tried, there's some level of customization that you can do. For example, there's the ATC sensitivity that you can boost, and by default it's set to 4 out of 7.
Now, if I may, when you say you can boost that, can a user go in and boost that?
Oh, absolutely.
In settings and address any challenges that are happening?
Right in the options menu. And then, so we did that for him, and it still wasn't quite working. So the other thing I tried was changing the dot intensity to softer. Oh. And for some reason, it just said bingo. You know, it worked for him. Mm-hmm. Another gentleman came by who's pretty well known in the industry, works on one of the accessibility teams. He says, you know, Earl, this sounds really good and everything, but, you know, I read with 6 fingers. And I tried it on this other device over here that's supposed to have auto-scrolling as well, and it didn't work. And he got very excited because he just kept saying, this is working. Hey, this is working. So it can be interesting when people come up with different scenarios, and like Siggy said, everybody has different reading behavior. So,
what are Braille readers saying about why it's so important to them to have auto scroll?
I have a university proofreader who says that you're going to have to pry this thing out of my cold dead hands, because when she got her active Braille, she was actually, you know, previously to getting her active Braille, she was out of work on a repetitive stress injury. She had really bad carpal tunnel syndrome. She's sitting there pushing buttons all day on her electronic Braille display. This does away with that mechanical thing that you have to do to advance to the next line. And when you've got a 16-cell Braille display like the Actolino, that's that many more times that you would have to push that button versus a 40 or an 80-cell Braille display. So given a book, something like Gone with the Wind or War and Peace, you know, you're looking at pressing a button 50,000 times by the time you finish those books. Well, with the Actolino, you just set the ATC sensitivity to your liking. You customize the dot firmness and, you know, figure out what works for you. And then you can just sit there and read and read and read without ever having to press a button.
And can you be doing that whether you're in the note taker mode or connected to a USB or Bluetooth device?
Yes to all of the above. So inside the device itself, inside the note taker, you can bring up a book and read it on the train or on the bus and just enjoy reading a book for the sake of reading a book. On your iPhone, there's a mobile ATC that can be invoked, and it could be a iPhone, it could be an Android phone, it could be a Macintosh computer, it could be perhaps ATC isn't working in one of the some applications on Windows. It works all the time in Word, it works all the time in Word, you know, Microsoft Word or WordPad. But there are some things that it just needs a sense that there's an edit field, and then it knows that if you've got mobile ATC turned on, the one thing that you want to do is have it automatically scroll when you reach the end of the line.
Uh-oh, so does that mean it doesn't work in web applications?
In what applications?
In web applications.
It does work in web applications when you have ATC mobile turned on.
Okay.
Now, there's also assistance functions, which are used to by Braille instructors, for example, because we've got 4 different reading behaviors at present, right, Siggy? We've got backwards reading, stop reading, read normal, and read fast. Mm-hmm. And there are, I think, 11 or 12 different things that can be assigned to those. For example, if I know that I'm the kind of guy who turns on bold print, I want to bold something, then every once in a while I forget to turn it off, and all of a sudden it looks like I'm yelling at who I'm writing something to. I can have a subtle tone chime in the background as I'm reading to indicate that, okay, you've just left normal print. You're now in, there's a font attribute change, and it chimes again when I leave that font attribute change. Or I can just have it speak the words. If I'm just a new Braille reader learning how to read Braille, I can just connect it to my computer. And as I'm reading an email message, or maybe I've typed something and I'm practicing my keyboarding skills as well, on the computer as I'm dragging my fingers across, whether I'm reading it in computer braille or grade one or grade two braille, then I can have those words echoed back to me as I'm reading them.
Mm-hmm. Those multimodal effects are usually the type of thing that's provided by a screen reader. Are you saying that these are things that happen on the display side? And do they happen in the note-taker mode?
They happen as a function of the driver. HandyTech Braille displays have one universal driver. This is a great thing, especially if you're a tech on a university campus, for example, because you can bring this thing that comes with every HandyTech Braille display called a start stick, and plug it into any computer and install any of the HandyTech software packages, whether it be for the Actolino, the Active Braille, Active Star, or any of the other HandyTech Braille displays. But they all use the same universal driver. So you can bring up a Braille configuration dialog that, in which you can control various things within the ATC page. It's a multi-page dialog. So you've got a connection page, ATC page. You've got a page for status cells,
maintenance information,
and that kind of
stuff. Serial numbers.
And that's all submitted to the screen reader manufacturers by HandyTech.
Okay.
And may I add, this knowing the reading position allows us to expand the user interface dramatically. We are thinking of introducing gestures, new ways of interacting as a blind user with a Braille display. You see, over the years, how the world of the user interface for sighted people have changed with the introduction of touch screens. So we see that we will have also a common gesture and sets of handling, which will establish over the years. So we're still learning and still exploring what is all possible. The good news is always, we're always adding new functionalities. Always, if it's in the driver or in the firmware, you download the new firmware into the device. It's always for free on our homepage and on Earl's homepage. And you're up and running. You have the latest. If it's interactive, we introduce now the ideas of interactive games. So make it entertaining to learn and to train your tactile capabilities. Those are the ideas growing around this ATC technology.
And then a fun thing about the Actolino, as with the Active Star, is the Actolino has a 16-voice polyphonic FM synthesizer chip on board. So they've got support for music braille. So if you're a music student and you're, for example, learning your intervals and your modalities and things like that, and you're learning at the same time how to read music braille, you can actually just, again, sitting on the train or the bus, put headphones on and start composing a piece on the Actolino and have it fire those notes as your fingers are going across it. So you've got half notes, quarter notes, octave marks, sharps, flats, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful teaching tool for people who may have a future and reading music
and
braille.
Also save it as a MIDI file so you can use it and continue using it.
So using the utility that comes with all the HandyTech note takers, it's called HTCOM, you can actually transfer that piece over to the computer and have it converted to a MIDI XML file.
So when do you anticipate that the Actolino might be released? And when you do release, what are you looking at in terms of a price point and a warranty structure?
Well, the warranty for all the HandyTech Braille displays, the manufacturer warranty is 3 years standard. I would say 99% of the time they're serviced at our service and repair center in Columbia Heights, Minnesota by factory authorized technicians. We work with contract technicians, but Siggy and company have worked with them to in service them on how to repair these devices. We're looking at a projected release date of mid-April, and that's, yes, you smart Alex out there, that's 2017. And we're looking at a price point, an introductory price point from now until the end of July of $2,295. So $2,295, and after that point, it'll go up $200 to $2,495.
It seems like there's a proliferation of new Braille technologies that add something extra. In your case, active tactile control, which has been around for a while, and now the support for music braille. If you tune into the mainstream media, you can hardly go a week without hearing that braille is dying and being replaced by speech. What are you seeing on the ground in terms of people coming into the world of using electronic braille, and how do you feel about that as a professional? What do you think we can expect from digital braille in the next 10 years?
10 years is a long time in the world of technology.
What do you want to see?
I want to see every school-age kid. I want to see every adult who's losing their vision. I want to see everybody have access to braille, because access to braille is access to the literary world. Mm-hmm. And shame on those media. What do they know? They're saying that braille is dying. Please, braille isn't dying any more than print is dying for sighted people. I think it's critical that kids learn how to spell, and there's no better way to learn it than to look at it in braille. And it's interesting to note that when you're reading braille, you're actually stimulating the same centers of the brain, the visual cortex, that sighted people are stimulating when they're reading visually. So I think this idea that braille is dying is nonsense. And what really irks me is when you've got professionals in the blindness industry that send that message to our kids. Shame on them.
What do you think we can do as a community to get a better message, a more positive message about braille to those people
who
are saying it's dying?
Well, I think that organizations like APH is sending that message with the project that they've worked on in collaboration with Orbit Research. It's a very basic reader, the Orbit Reader, but man, it's going to get braille into the hands of thousands of people who would have never been able to afford it before. You know, the Actolino brings something more to the table in the ATC. It brings tools that allow braille teachers to analyze their students' reading behaviors. It brings the ability to enjoy books without having to do this mechanical thing of pushing buttons all the time. So I just think that there is a place for all of it at this point. And I know that Congress has authorized the distribution of book readers through National Library Services. Eventually, this is going to come to pass. And I'm excited about that. I think that anything we can do to promote the use of braille and literacy is really important.
May I add, I'm really convinced that there is always a need for a discrete, reliable source of information where I can also sit in a meeting just taking my notes, not sticking out of the others sitting around the table. It's just doing my, also getting a sense of how things are structured. Is there a table? Are the table elements related to each other by scrolling through the structure with the braille? How is it spelled correctly? And all those aspects of this discrete media where it belongs to me, and I can use it anytime. This will stay, because I want to have my privacy and not have read out my even intimest what I want to hide. This is my free will to read my books in my speed, not in the speed of the speech synthesizer thinks I should hear it. And I see that also in 10 years we're sitting here and talking about new braille displays.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. I've been speaking with Earl Harrison, who is the president of Triumph Technology. If you'd like to learn more, you can reach attriumph.com. And I've been speaking with Siggy Kipke, who is CEO and owner of Handytech from the Black Forest of Germany. Thank you both for everything you do, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Well, thank you, Chancy.
Thank you, Chancy.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys, online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.